One time, right in the middle of a job interview, I took out a book and I started reading. The guy said, "What the hell are you doing?" I said, "Let me ask you this. If you're in a vehicle and you're traveling at the speed of light, and then you turned your lights on, would they do anything?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Forget it then. I don't want to work for you."
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Away from the online marketing Kool-Aid bar.
Gentlemen, you look great.
Genuine 160 proof old Anglo-Saxon, baby.
Get into it.
Get down with this.
Enjoy the refreshing, cool, crisp taste of proven business and marketing strategies, tactics, trends, and techniques.
Give me a break, will you?
How exciting is that?
I am a man what don't believe in embarrassing lady folks.
I'm home.
I am not in the mood.
I'm sad.
I'm not shy.
I do not apologize.
Is that too much?
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Is this behavior possible?
Let's have a party.
Let's make love.
Ready on the lights, on the action, on the camera.
I'd like to see the man in charge.
My lips are sealed.
Come on in, have a seat. It's time for strategy. Yeah. 6:02 on the West Coast for your Tuesday. It's the last day of June the 30th, 2015. Broadcasting live from the Reed Opera House. It's great to see you. And, you know, life is, it's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's really about learning to dance in the rain. Yeah. Welcome to the program. After my long extended weekend, we are on hiatus yesterday for our Monday. 4th of July coming up this weekend. That's right, Independence Day. Let's keep it safe and sane. Let's make sure if we're going to go out and party, let's do it responsibly. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, here in Oregon, pot passed, and it becomes legal tomorrow, effective tomorrow, July 1st. Ought to be interesting around here. I'll try to get some photos and post them for you. Wow. Entrepreneur strategies. Imagine how many people are going to be making money in the pot business now. Think about it. There's a lot of big investors hopping on this bandwagon. Talk to you about more about that in the next few weeks. Tomorrow, we'll talk about many things, but for now, let's focus on where we go today. Entrepreneur strategy. We're take a look today at ridiculous business startup myths. You know, when taking your business or product idea to action, you generally follow certain practices and procedures to ultimately derive increased market share and sustain profitability, right? Now, there are many moving parts to your business startup strategy. Now, the sad reality is, most new business endeavors never profitably leave the ground. Now, what causes and perpetuates such a business failure strain? In some cases, businesses fail to launch because the business owners get caught up in the minutiae and wind up driving down the wrong trail. Now, as powerful as the internet has become, one weakness still runs rampant. One major weakness of the web is the plethora of unproven ideals, watered down strategies, or misleading myths that cause the well-intentioned entrepreneur to stumble, fall, and never get back up again. So what are just some of these ridiculous business startup myths? Well, we'll learn from that today, and we'll talk about it so that you don't have to, you can kind of avoid them or see them for what they really are. We'll also talk about how rejection can build success. We'll check in with our friends over at Entrepreneur, Colleen DeBase. We'll talk about three cool moves for closing your next deal. And Forbes contributor Dori Clark reveals four key insights from her current interview with Dave Kirpin, author of Likeable Business, and four ways to shank social media and how to correct that. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. Great to see you back. It's wonderful that you're here. I'm here. I'm stoked. I got my Starbucks in hand, got to say hello to my baristas this morning, which always gets me excited because they're just really super cool, really super friendly. Tons to talk about here on today's program, so let's get to it. Entrepreneur, our friends there, particularly Sherry Campbell, contributor, psychologist, author, and speaker, chiming in about how rejection and how the critics can actually help us attain success. So no matter who you are, when you have a dream and are committed to achieving it, you're going to face critics. The bigger you get, the more critics, and you're going to experience many rejections all along the way. You'll face people who have the outright desire to take you from their path. Many people who may be in power will use their position to push down ideas that are not in line with their own, or just ideas that they don't understand. Or they don't value. Just as detrimental are the caring concerned who, in trying to protect you from your unrealistic dreams, keep you from them. So let's talk a little bit about some of these rejection and critical things that are tossed our way and how we can get past this. First thing that Sherry shares, and I agree, is emotional strength. You know, the pursuit of success nearly guarantees the more you seek to fulfill your purpose, the more obstacles that are going to come across our path, right? The moguls, sun in our eyes, the rocks, forks in roads. As you come across the naysayers, you must learn to not integrate their fears into your own belief system and your decision-making processes, right? Pursuing a dream is emotional strength training, truly is. The more motivated you are to make a difference and change the world, the more you rise in your success. Now, the more you want to create and lead, the more rejection and criticism are going to show up on your path in an all-out effort to derail you. That's really how it works. Now, this is an opportunity, according to Sherry, to develop the skills, strategies, and resolve to continue forward. In this way, your naysayers become your greatest motivators. They fuel your desire to show them just how wrong they are about who you are and where you're going. In fact, my story, I got out of the Navy. I had like one college class, pre-Navy. I took a speech class, and that was my level of scholarly education until I hit 40. And then in my 40s, some of my friends said, you do it the old school. You need to, you know, get caught up with the scholar, you know, and this, that, and the educated. And so I thought, well, what do the scholars really know that I don't? And so I went ahead and registered for school. My friend said, you just don't have the patience. You're wild and crazy for you to just settle down. Not only did I settle down and get my undergrad degree, BSBA in marketing, graduated summa cum laude, which is 4.0, went forward, got my MBA, stayed in school, got the MBA, aced that, and now I'm finishing up my doctoral studies. One more year of that, and I'll have my terminal degree. So all I can say about the naysayers is, yeah! Sherry also says when the critics come at you, you got to maintain self-control. Receiving criticism and rejection is common when your pursuit is doing important things in the world. Remember, we're always about facilitating positive social change, right? Well, force yourself to become conscious of the rude, ill-informed, and unkind people who emerge to tarnish your shine. You ever had that happen before? Like I have. It hurts, doesn't it? You know, we try to pretend like, hey, what you think of me is none of my business. That sounds good, doesn't it? But it still hurts. So with an awareness of them, you gain more control over your emotional reactions to them. So you can how do you react to that? Negative people look around every corner. The reality is that things aren't going to be fair on your way to the top. You got to accept that, because you will interact with a fair number of these people. You have the opportunity to develop unbeatable self-control. Critics love to get under your skin and push you off balance. It gives them a warped sense of power, as I put it. Therefore, use these people and experiences as exposure therapy until eventually rejection and criticism have little to no power over you. It's like being offended. You can only be offended if you give somebody permission to offend you. So by weathering exposure to the negativity of others, you develop control of your emotional reactions to their effort to set you back. The next thing Sherry talks about is the refocusing. Learn to say next to every no. Rejection is not the end of the world, nor does your idea merit being discarding. Look for gifts in the feedback that comes with rejection. Accept what can be successfully applied to refine and make your idea better. Then move on. So you refocus your energy. This creates a more creative energy. You have the opportunity to refine, repurpose, and perfect. I call it reinvent what is already in place. Rejection, if you allow it, can fuel your deep desire to succeed. To be successful, you gotta compete, and compete. We always talk about that battle each and every day. Market share, right? Gotta be fearless. Success is all about risk. Each time you put yourself and your idea out into the world, you risk rejection and criticism too. So don't be shocked or dismayed when it happens. Expect it. Success is about getting knocked out, learning resilience, getting back up again, and risking again. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Most of the happiness derived from success is not monetary. People think the reason why they want money is because they think that money is going to bring them happiness. It's just dead presidents on paper. No matter how rich you are, look at Robin Williams, hung himself. Probably had a ton of dough, right? Not about the money, but the confidence you build along the way as you risk, fall, try again, risk, and then succeed. You also have to have an unwavering belief in your purpose. That's number four, according to Sherry. I agree with this. When you believe deeply in what you're doing, what you're creating, and what your ideas stand for, you develop the resilience to withstand all rejection and criticism. There is nothing more profoundly necessary for true success than a deep and unwavering belief in your purpose. With deep belief, you can remain hardworking and quiet because your success will do the talking. And finally, unflinching in the face of challenges. Problem, solution, right? Problem, solution. It's a problem. Is it a problem? What level of problem is it? Is it a problem? Is it a priority? We got to solve it now. Can we set it aside? Is there other problems? To what level is the problem? And then, staying calm, cool, and collective, what's the solution? Problem, solution, critical thinking. What kind of true success can really come without real effort, real labor, real heartache, and real sweat? Success doesn't come to the weak. So, success is built upon your own determination, not managed by anyone else's opinion. This is why success is never a straight shot to the top. Now, none of us would be nearly as successful as we are without the gifts of the naysayers, of the tough rejections, or the harsh criticisms. It's all dependent upon what you choose to do with it. To be a standout success, you got to learn to control your emotional reactions and turn all the criticisms and rejections to serve as your greatest advantage. And most importantly, you see the value in it all and be thankful along the way. Success, at the end of the day, is your greatest revenge. Be sure you are the last one standing. I want to thank Sherry very much and our friends over at Entrepreneur for delivering our message today, How Rejection Builds Success. Check out entrepreneur.com.
Strategist Radio.
Here's what's coming up the balance of this week. we'll call it Independence Week, 4th of July week, right? Tomorrow on the program for Wednesday, we'll talk about the entrepreneur strategy, how to grow your business in 3 steps. Doesn't mean it's easy, but there's 3 steps. Thursday, marketing strategy. This is important. You don't want to miss Thursday's show. How to localize your SEO to gain higher profits. This is critical. And on Friday, book marketing strategy. Why ebook subscription platforms underperform. All ahead this week on Strategist Radio Live. And you can get all the details, by the way, by visiting the hub at tjmarino.com. Let's check in with Colleen DeBase. She talks about closing the deal. 3 cool moves for making it happen.
You've found the right clients and made your pitch, but you haven't made the sale until you've closed the deal. Marketing expert Elise Beenan has a 3-step solution to this business challenge.
So at the end of the sales process, things can get very fuzzy, whether you've submitted a proposal and you're waiting to see what their decision is, or you've had a meeting and now what's going to happen. But really, that's the moment where you have to take control of the conversation and close the deal. The first step is making sure that they have no more questions. So you basically ask, do you have any more questions? Because you have no idea what's going on in their mind, and you may feel ready to get going, but they may not be ready, and you need to know that. Once it's clear that they have no more questions, then you indicate what your next steps are, basically. And you make it very concrete and clear, and you say, okay, if you're ready to go ahead, here's what I'm going to do next. I'll send you a contract, I'll send you an invoice, I'll send you a questionnaire, we'll set up the appointment, whatever it is, so that they know exactly what to expect and what is expected of them. So if things still seem a little fuzzy and they're not quite moving, then you can give a deadline of some sort that they can react to. So it could be, this price is only good till the end of the month or the end of the year, or I'm going to have time between now and the end of April, so if you want to get on my schedule, then we need to make a decision soon. And really that also conveys the message that you have a lot going on. You're in demand.
For more on dealing with sales challenges, check out our ebook, 25 Business Challenges and How to Overcome Them, at entrepreneur.com.
Strategist Radio.
If I haven't told you yet today, I'm madly in love with you. I totally adore you. Thanks for being my friend. 83,000 strong now, our Inner Circle membership. Over 120 countries. Some of my wonderful favorites. Karen, Dina, Sabrina, Kathy, Catherine, Kathy, Kathleen, Elizabeth, Tom, John, Joe, Lisa, hello to Bill, Nicole, Kalara, Dartha, Den, Tina, Harry, Bonnie, Chuck, David, Charlotte, Grady, Rita, Patty, Sarah, Shannon, hello to Leanne, Julie, Tiffany, Pam, Frankie, hello to Tracy, Denise, Alina, Lynn, good morning to Sean and Dr. Caroline Savage and young Dante, hello to Jana Lynn, Sylvie, Becky, good morning to our friends at Rackspace, BMW USA, Amazon, Bezos in the bunch there, Random House, Avon, Mars Wrigley Company in Chicago, and our hardworking friends in Kirkland, Washington at Costco. Good morning. Hey, Inner Circle membership's absolutely free. All you got to do is pop over to the hub at tjmarino.com. And don't forget that we take our live airing Monday through Friday, like today's show, and we turn it into a podcast shortly after the live airing, and we make all the archives available for you for free on the hub at tjmarino.com. Check it out. Tell a friend. Okay, so social media is huge, right? But a lot of people are screwing it up big time. 4 ways to shank social media and how to correct that. Dori Clark, Forbes contributor, there she shares on this morning's program.
I recently spoke with Dave Kirpin, who's the author of the best-selling Likeable Social Media and the current book, Likeable Business. He shared with me a few interesting points about 4 things that you may well be doing wrong on social media and how to fix them. 1 is selling too fast online. We're all stuck in the broadcast mentality. People used to buy 30-second advertisements and try to get out as much information as fast as possible. That's not how it works in the social era. If you do that, Dave Kirpin says, it's basically like being a hawker at a cocktail party and sticking out your jacket and saying, hey, want to buy some watches? That's not what people want, and it's not what they respond to. What you need to do instead is build a relationship. The second thing that you may be doing wrong on social media is measuring ROI, return on investment, the wrong way. It turns out this is not something that you can measure in the short term because the gains are long term and need to be looked at that way. You may hear about a product from a friend on Facebook, and then it's only later and over time that you make the purchase. Social media has been critical in that encounter, but it wouldn't be measured or ever picked up. So you have to adjust your metrics accordingly. The third important thing to keep in mind, and something that you may be doing wrong on social media, is not taking into account voice. Over time, you want to develop your own voice for you personally or for your brand online, because whether you're witty, serious, helpful, funny, whatever it is, you want to speak in an authentic way. You can't use this oracular voice like people used to in the broadcast era. It just doesn't fit. And the fourth and perhaps most important point is, while social media is critical, you can't assume that it will solve all your problems. If you're not doing good customer service, if you have a poor product, social media probably won't help you. But it will be helpful in terms of amplifying your message and making sure that you're getting that out to consumers. What is critical, says Dave Kirpin, is that first, you know people, second, you like them, and third, you trust them. If you have trust, you have customers, and that's how you build a serious and long-term customer relationship using social media.
Strategist Radio.
Oh, you can email me anytime with your thoughts, ideas for upcoming programs. Tell me where it hurts. Send an email to support@tjmarino.com. Got something you want to share on the program? Maybe it's an audio or a video clip. Maybe you'd like to be a guest on an upcoming program. Let me know. Same email address, support@tjmarino.com. I read them all. A lot of jack out there on the net. Lot of sound pollution, visual pollution out there. The great thing about the internet is it's just so powerful, and there's so many strengths, but there's so many weaknesses too. And one of it is there's this easy button.
That was easy.
You know, the easy button, you can buy that for like $8 or something over at Staples. But sometimes we think that we've got this warped sense of what's true, what's not true, what should I do, what should I not do, what should I do first, how do I prioritize, how do I develop my business plan, do I need a full-blown business plan, do I need to know everything there is to know about my particular field, my profession, do I have to, start at the right time, is timing important, do I have to have a ton of money, do I have to hire a whole staff of people, a whole slew of stakeholders within my organization? Do I have to work 24/7 when I start up? Do I have to do everything? These are great questions. And a lot of people still have that mindset, and I call them myths, and they're kind of ridiculous. So we'll go through some of these today and see how this might feel to you. We'll let you try this on. The first myth is you have to know what you're doing. Okay, now I went to school. Yeah, all right. I got my master's degree. Big deal. It is hard, a lot of work. If you've been to school, you know what I mean. If you didn't go to school, hey, fine. It's one shoe doesn't fit everybody, right? There's one size doesn't fit all. So in my case, I had street smarts, but I didn't have the scholarly knowledge. So I went and got the scholarly knowledge, and I teamed it with my street smarts and refined and reinvented, right? That was just my strategy. But even in all the stuff that I know and the books that I turn to or the materials that I read and study each and every day just to remind myself of what I've long forgotten, I'm able to take that information and be able to share it with our clients, right? But I have to stay polished up. But I don't need to know every single thing about everything that needs to get done. You know, all things, you know, I can't be omnipresent, omnipotent, or omniscient, right? You don't have to know what it is you're doing in terms of in its entirety. You actually don't need to know exactly what you're doing to get started. Now, that may seem kind of counter productive or intuitive or an oxymoron. Time has proven that continuously. If you look at Magellan, Einstein, Madame Curie, remember her, Madame Curie with the radium, remember Steve Jobs, you know, and beyond. There was never an exact plan of, for the course ahead. Just a general idea that something more was out there. Let your curiosity overpower the myth that you have to know exactly what you're doing to get started and get moving. Okay? Do you have to have a business plan? A complete business plan? Not necessarily. Something simple that effectively outlines your mission, your vision. You have to know what? You got to know the description of your company. You got to know the mission of your company, and you have to know the objectives, right? Those objectives are financial objectives, your production objectives, and your marketing objectives. That's a key piece of your business plan. Mission, vision, marketing, tentpole effect. You know, we can go on and I can go and just beat this senseless, but you just need to get a solid 2 or 3 page outline for your business plan started and then get to work. Remember, even if you had a, what you think is a perfect business plan today, may be obsolete. And it's going to need to be refined on a continual basis. It's like your business. It's a living, breathing document. You have to start at the right time. Everything's about the timing. Wrong. The only timing that will ever be right is now. In fact, countless entrepreneurs have started their businesses at the worst possible times in history and the worst possible time in their personal lives. And there's story after story after story out there. Read about Vanderbilt. Read about Carnegie, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, Henry Ford. I can go on. Ben Franklin. The other one is you have to have a lot of money to start. No, you don't. In fact, Eric Ries talks about it in his Lean Startup book. There's a lot of ways to kick your business off without having to go out and get a gob of capital. Yeah, you need to have some capital, certainly. But you don't need to have hundreds of thousands of dollars unless, of course, you're going to go out and get yourself a franchise. But you don't need more cash than it's necessary to get things started. You have to hire a staff at first? Not necessarily. Do the work yourself. Put in a little extra time. And if you need to outsource, outsource. Keep your costs down. Do you have to work 24/7? No. That's a myth. You have to refuel. You've got to get some rest. You got to go to the bathroom. You have to have a sandwich. You got to spend time with your family and your friends. You've got to have work-life balance. You grind yourself into the dust day after day without relief, you're going to burn to a crisp. And you have to do it all? No, you don't. Tough times, you got to delegate, especially when you're starting up. This might appear to really be something that we all think we have to do. We gotta do this, then we gotta spin that, then we gotta put on this hat and that hat. Learn to delegate. And it's important to delegate and outsource some of the daily tasks and responsibilities. At the end of the day, you may be spending a little money to do that, but if you take a look at what you're worth in time and energy, well, there you go. So there's some ideas. Ridiculous business startup myths. I love you very much. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the entrepreneur strategy, God willing, and how to grow your business in 3 days. I love you. Thanks for being my friend. Make it a great rest of your Tuesday. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.